I've been hustling all week, and it's only Wednesday. I know you're tired.
At least there's no school next week. That's the only thing.
I'm sorry, let me pull it. Oh, it's in there.
What are you doing?
It's a gray hair. It's just sticking out. Like, your curl is like this, and then there's just one hair sticking out.
Yeah, because those are
wiry.
They have a completely different fucking texture.
It's really messed up, gray hairs. How dare you? How come they can't be popping, too, you know?
Life was like, fuck that.
Oh, you think you're going to have gray hair forever? I don't think so. Throw some of these grays out you. But I've seen, like, people with gray hair, and their hair looks beautiful and, like, lush and healthy. Doesn't look crazy.
Yeah. Like, sticking out. Like, you have your hair all done, and then there's, like, gray hair just sticking out, and you're like...
The F.
It just doesn't want to do what it's supposed to do.
Why do you hate me? Oh, my gosh. So, Brandy, what's going on? How are you? I know you said you're excited about next week being no school.
There's no school next week. Because I'm, like, okay... Getting up at freaking 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:55, that's when my alarm goes off. And then Gracie would be like, man. And I'm just like, can you just get up? Get up. You have a freaking head full of hair that I have to comb. And then, you know, she has to go find her clothes because she can never find her clothes. Like, they're occasionally she'll get her clothes ready the night before. But so I'm just like, I need a week off of this. I wish it was summer again already.
Of mommyhood.
So.
Oh, this is the first time you're doing it with a girl, too, so.
Yeah, I didn't have to comb Giovanni's hair when he was, you know, going to elementary school. He was just, get up and just go.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. There's a difference.
But now I'm like, oh, I gotta comb this freaking hair, and it's down to her ass, and I'm just like, can we just cut your hair? And she's like,
she's not in charge, you are.
Every now and again, she'll be like, yeah, sure. And then I'm just like, I have to figure out, like, what to do with this.
Take
this,
her to a place. Head of hair. Take her to her first, like, salon, you know, her first time at the salon.
Her
and
first
then,
salon appointment.
Yeah, and, like, cut off, like, 10 inches. She'll still have a bunch of hair. And I think 10 inches will make a nice wig for, you know, a child or whatever.
Mm.
She'll still have a bunch of hair.
Yeah.
And it'll grow back.
Yeah. I mean, that's, what, 7 years of hair?
Yeah.
What is going on with you?
Hustling. I'm producing dog biscuits as we speak.
Producing.
Yes, I've launched a new biscuit box on my website, beautiesbiscuits.com. Fresh baked dog biscuits for your dog. My
winter box. What does it consist of?
It consists of a pumpkin and CBD dog biscuit, a pumpkin and turmeric biscuit, and a turmeric and CBD. Dog biscuits.
Those are options, or is that?
That's what comes in the winter box. That's what you get. You get 3 bags of dog biscuits. You can let me know if you have a large dog or a small dog. And it's good for dogs that are experiencing, like, joint pain, arthritis, osteoarthritis. This one woman messaged me yesterday. She was like, hey, I need more dog biscuits, but I want all CBD for my dog.
Oh.
And I want to subscribe. I was like, okay, boo. And I've been,
I want to subscribe to just CBD.
Because her dog was diagnosed with osteoarthritis. He's like a golden retriever. She said he's 90 pounds. And this woman is easily like 70. And she's like, I can't lift him up. I can't pick him up. So she would try and walk with him and he would just give out and just lay there.
Yeah, I'm not doing this anymore.
Her dog has been eating my biscuits for about 3 weeks. And she's like, he's moving around. He's better. I need more.
Oh, wow.
So I hear that a lot. People are like, your biscuits are bomb because I put real shit in it. I'm using turmeric. I'm making it absorbable for the dogs. You have to make it in a certain way or prepare it in a certain way. And CBD is good for all. So if you fit those requirements or you want to send a special treat to somebody for their dog, beautiesbiscuits.com. Check out our winter box.
Yeah, get that winter box.
Get that winter box. So that's what I've been doing. So I'm making dog biscuits right now. I, you know, work with my personal assistant like once a week to get stuff done and make sure I'm staying on track.
Did you get a new one?
Yeah, I got a new one. Okay. And she's putting together some really cute posts and designs and stuff. So I'm like, go ahead, girl. She's like an engineering student in, why can't I think of the damn country? Venezuela.
Oh, okay. Speaking of which, the guy emailed me again. He's like, so, have you decided what you're going to do? I'm like, I guess I should, like, think about that.
I just find stuff for her to do that I'm not going to do. Like, I'm not going to do my social. I need to get better. I'm good at telling you what I need, and she puts it together, mm-hmm. and we've got a good working relationship. Mm-hmm. I really liked my last assistant since she was very sweet. She was very hardworking, but she didn't have that creative, you know, part. She had to leave, and then I got this girl, and so it's working out, and I'm very happy with the work. Can we get the same one? Yeah, probably. Probably, girl. So this is, it's going good, and, you know, it's November, and Thanksgiving is around the corner.
Yeah, it is.
But, I mean, other than
it's literally next week. Wait, is it this week?
No, it's next week. Yeah. Like you said, it's literally next week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Flakes.
And this is Book of Lies. The podcast.
It's Bolt, bitches.
Yes, it is. And welcome to Book of Lies podcast. Mm. That was my radio voice.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Book of Lies podcast.
Oh, where
you listen to blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah. You can connect with us on social if you want. You can meet us on Instagram or Facebook at Book of Lives Podcast, on Twitter at Book of Lives Pod. We should do a TikTok eventually because I feel like that's where all the kids are migrating to. Even the old folks are going to the TikTok.
We have TikTok.
I guess we're on there. What are we on TikTok?
Book of Lives Podcast.
Yeah, do that. And Twitch, too.
We are on Twitch.
Book of Lies Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right, check us out. We're all over the place where we try to be. Visit our website, bookoflivespodcast.com. We don't have any Twitch videos up, though. No, we don't. But that's okay. okay.
Do we? I don't even know.
I really don't think so. Let me give a shout out to Jonathan freaking Walton, producer of the Queen of the Con, the mm-hmm. Irish heiress, streaming on iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
Topic. Yeah. Topic of our episode 133. Everybody is suspect. Mayor Smith. He did, it's his story, guys. Like, it happened to him. He produced a podcast. He's in the show business. He sent us a very nice email saying he enjoyed listening to that episode. So thank you, my friend. Thank you so much. And check out that episode and his podcast. It's a good time, okay? And it's actually 10 episodes. So there's more shenanigans, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I just asked you. So finally, like last week, I was telling you guys that Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Jen Shah, they're finally giving it to us.
Uh-huh.
So this week's episode, they go into the arrest. Jen Shah. So everything, like, we learn what we learn for this week, which is a lot. So I figured...
We learn what we learn.
So Whitney's pretty smart, because Whitney knew exactly what Jen was doing.
What?
Whitney was like, because they were like, why are they looking for her? Why are the police after her? Why is Homeland Security say they want to make sure she's safe? What's going on? They're driving, and then Whitney gets an email or a story notification that Jen Shah has been arrested on counts of money laundering, fraud.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And they were like, what? I thought she just did this. I thought she just put lists together. And kind of like what Whitney said, and I think I said this as well, she sells leads. So these people are like, we're looking for this type of person that makes X amount of money that's this year's old, mm-hmm. so we can target them and they're more susceptible to fraud, because apparently she was frauding elderly people, people who, you know, are not defenseless, but
people
susceptible.
Who are more, yeah, they have a higher susceptibility because they are either unaware of the type of situation that is fraud, or they are, you know, they are too free with their information.
Right. So they were targeting those people. So I'm sure she was selling leads to them, but they also said that her and her partner were, like, frauding these people.
Who's her partner?
Stu. That guy, Stu. Her assistant.
Oh, he's her partner in this?
Her and him went down. Both of them. I think he's her business partner / assistant or whatever, but whatever they want to call each other. Because Whitney was like, I was wondering how she was spending all this money. She was wondering where she was getting her money from. She was like, I didn't think it was this. I just thought she had a sugar daddy.
Okay, wait. I'm confused. So her business is putting lists together? Because mm-hmm. I thought her business, like, she was acting like she had, like, this fucking
algorithm.
Like, okay, but I thought she was, like, doing, because she was, wasn't she, like, supposed to be doing, like, fashion or something, or...
I think she did try and launch that, but the bread and butter behind her, The main thing that she's doing is this data mining, pretty much collecting leads and selling them to the highest bidder. Oh. But she did also try and launch a fashion line because, like, right when she started, I went to her Instagram and stuff, and I was like, Jen Shaw Fashion, like, what the hell is this? But it's nothing.
Yeah, because, like, you know, in season one, I felt like she was, like, doing something with fashion, but I don't know.
No.
But they all are. Well, not they all are, but, like, Meredith.
I mean, you could dabble in different things. Don't get me wrong. Like, I sell dog biscuits and skincare, and we do a podcast. And,
no, I mean, get it, you know, but I mean, that's what she didn't talk about, you know, I sell lists to people.
But they were like, what exactly do you do? And she did try and touch upon it, but she was being so convoluted, and we're like, what? Like, what are you even saying?
Oh, okay.
So she did mention it before.
Like, if she had, you know, this algorithm that she had sold to another, you know, I get that. Like, you know, people sell their ideas all the time and make millions of dollars.
Right.
But, okay, so.
She's a shyster. So Whitney was like, you know, okay, so Meredith last season, she threw a birthday party for Meredith. And apparently she spent like $80,000 on this party. They said that she's been flagged at Louis Vuitton because all she pays is in cash. They were like,
and they don't want her to pay cash.
Red flag you because Louis Vuitton, like a little tiny coin purse, is like $5,000.
I know, but if you have it in cash,
if you pay in cash all the time, they flag you. Apparently,
and then what?
I don't know. You're just
they don't want your cash.
I don't know, Brandy. Everybody was like, oh, gasp! You don't want to be red flagged by Louis Vuitton. I don't have those type of problems. I don't even know, like, but apparently it's a thing.
I'm trying to figure out
if you know, you know. If but you pay I don't
me cash,
know.
Can you give me the cash?
Give me the money, right?
Unless it was like, you know. Dirty money, not dirty money, but like
maybe the amount. Money maybe whatever. She went in there and like dropped like 50 G's in cash. That's a lot of
That's
money.
That's what rappers do.
Hopefully they put it in a bank account. And like,
but rappers literally carry stacks of
She's
cash.
Not a rapper.
Her husband is a football player. I mean,
no, he's a coach for a high school, for like college football.
But he was a football player.
But okay, anyway, she been red flagged by Louis Vuitton. They said it. It must be true. They were just saying all these things.
They said it must be true. Yeah, okay. We know how that goes.
I know. They're just saying like all these red flags that they have like noticed that they just kind of like let go by the wayside, but then brought it up.
How the hell would they know she got flagged unless they were in the store with her and they were like, we're going to red flag you or something. Like,
I don't know.
I'm sure if it's such a bad thing to be red flagged by Louis Vuitton, she didn't say, hey, Louis Vuitton red flagged me, guys. Isn't that great? You know what I mean?
I think it means like your money's dirty.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know what it means. We don't have these problems. We don't get
Louis,
it.
Louis, if you're a Louis representative or if you work at Louis Vuitton, please let us
Give
know.
Give us the red flag tea, please. We don't know.
I want to know.
Apparently, like, you know, like I told you before, Jen Shaw employs people who steal shit. Somebody stole a purse out of Meredith's boutique.
Yeah.
And they called Jen. They're like, hey, have you seen this green purse? And one of her people, you know, sticky fingered it and then brought it back.
That's so dumb.
And this is someone who's why would still you, on her staff.
Yeah, why would you steal from, like, somebody that you know that your employer, I guess it's her boss, or, you know, is going to be around?
Because you ain't got no damn sense. That's why. You have no class. You have no sense. You don't steal from
you have no
anybody. Like, just stop. Let alone the girl's friend. Exactly. Those are the scandalous-ass people you don't want to be around.
Yeah, okay, because they might have probably stole from her, too. You don't know.
Exactly. They're stealing your shit. Those people, let them go because they're going to steal. And there's no reason to. It's like Winona Ryder. Like, you got money. Like, why are you stealing this?
Yeah, unless you have, like, literally kleptomania. You have a diagnosable condition where you are compelled just to steal just for the thrill of it. That's one thing. But if you're just taking a purse because, oh, I like this person. I can't afford it. Or something. I don't know. It's weird. I can't. Whatever.
But I'm finally happy that we're getting into it and we're going to see how this plays out.
Well, she's not in jail though right now, is she?
I don't know her current situation because they're not doing any
they're not
confessionals. I'm just saying like confessionals at Jen. Because I think what they do is like when they're filming, they do like their confessionals. So they'll have stuff like real time in case somebody goes to jail like this situation.
They do their confessionals after, like at the end.
I think
of
they
season.
Do both. I think they'll do confessionals when they're recording and then they'll sit down and talk with the producer and then they'll ask some questions while they're rewatching it. I think they do it a couple different ways.
Well, we will.
Like you say, whatever. So that's what's going on in the Real Housewife news, if you guys didn't know already. Okay. Just letting you guys know. One last thing. And I think that the movie Saturday Night Fever should be retired. I'm just going to say it right now. I watched Saturday Night Fever for the very first time. Yes, that is right. For the very first time this weekend. A lot of people still haven't seen it, though. Well, you don't need to. Just get the soundtrack of the Bee Gees. That's it. That's it. I went in there and was like, okay, you know, Saturday Night Fever, this is apparently a classic. The Bee Gees, young John Travolta. Why not? It was on HBO, so I was at mom's house. I laid in her bed and I watched it. And I was just so turned off by the language. And I'm not an old lady, but they was like, they were calling women cunts. They were like, oh, yeah, you know, oh, now you're happy. Now you're a cunt now. What? Like, what? How do you?
That's weird, though.
Like, that's weird.
Now suddenly you're a cunt.
What? Yes. I was like, okay, no. And then, like, John Travolta, Tony in the movie, Tony Montero.
Montero or Montano?
It was Montero. He wanted to dance. He was a dancer and got down at the, yeah, it's weird, was getting down at the local disco dancing and stuff. And he just wanted to dance. Okay, fine. He works at a paint store. He's 19. He goes after some chick who's not interested. Like, these guys did not know how to take no for like an answer. It's just like, okay, stop stalking me. You are seriously stalking me. And then, trigger warning, there's like rape in the movie. And I was just like, why is this happening right now? Like, I can't believe this is happening. I did not see this coming. And you forced me to watch it.
Who forced you?
The damn television. And so I was just like, what? And then, like, there's...
You didn't want to change the channel?
Trigger warning. Like, I think the guy killed himself. Suicide? It was intense. And it came out in the 70s, and it's supposed to be a classic. And people like, oh, no.
Only old people. Nobody, I haven't heard anybody that is younger than 50 talk about this movie, so.
Okay, well, I think I should start a petition, and I think this movie needs to be retired, because.
To the vault with you.
I think that's where it needs to go. If you have a copy of it, good for you, you're the only one that does, but I don't think this should be shown to young people, or to anybody.
Well, it's rated R.
I'm 39, and I'm offended. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think this movie should be shown anymore.
Well, see, that's where you can't really do that.
I can't do that. I know there's a right to, like, art and creativity and stuff.
Yeah, and then, like, because once that begins, like, okay.
Yeah, I'm censoring stuff. Yeah,
They are not going to show Gone with the Wind anymore. And I'm like, I want to watch it. I mean, yes, you know, it's, obviously it's outdated, but it depicts a story that, you know,
Is
accurate.
If it's a good story, okay, Gone with the Wind, that's different. Saturday Night Fever, it was a stupid story. It was a dumb story.
Yeah, that was a dumb story. But, you know, there's a whole bunch of movies like that. A whole bunch of them. You just saw that one. Because there's a movie, I forgot what it's called, but it's an all-star cast. It has Jodie Foster, Matthew Modine, Rob Lowe, and... You know what? Jodie Foster's been in a lot of movies where she gets raped.
Who?
Now that I think about it, Jodie Foster. It's a movie, you know, they're like, there's incest, there's rape, there's suicide, all of these things in this one movie. It's really, this movie is
problematic.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's a weird movie. It's crazy. And
is she like a child in the movie? Is she like,
she's a teenager in the movie.
Yeah.
And in the movie, it's her, Rob Lowe is her brother, and they're in love with each other. Yeah, they have a little sister she's small, like she's a little girl, but she wants to be bigger. And so she writes a book and then she writes another book, but she's like, I still wasn't big enough. She's like 10, she kills herself. It's just, the whole movie is crazy. She gets raped by Matthew Modine and then they like, she meet up with him later and basically like flip the tables and do it to him. It's just, the movie's nuts. I forgot what it's called. It's called like something house or something. It's about a house, like it centers around this house.
Something terrible.
But, yeah, I was just like, I watched this movie, and I was like, what the fuck is happening here? Mm-mm. So, anyway, what are we talking about today, Sonny?
God, thank you. I wanted to talk about Identity Thief, but we're not going to do that today. Oh. I found a story from American Greed.
Mm.
And this guy's stupid. So.
They're all stupid.
This guy's dumb as dirt. So let me go ahead and get into my story. Let me get my notes. Okay, so we're going to talk about a man by the name of Kevin Richard Halligan. Kevin Richard Halligan was born Kevin Richard Halligan.
Okay.
Yeah, stupid. July 14th, 1961 in Ireland.
That's like Mariel's wedding. It's Mariel.
Well, that's exactly what's happening here. Halligan. When he migrated to the UK from Ireland, and then he changed his name to Halligan from Halligan. Maybe he didn't want people to know he was Irish.
Well, okay, whatever. You sound Irish anyway.
You still sound Irish to me.
Exactly.
You still sound Irish to me. So, and he was born in, what, 61? So in the mid-90s, he worked for a battery company, and one of the clients included the Ministry of Defense. This guy is a really good salesman. I'm going to say he is a master salesman. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now. Mm-hmm. So
I wish I could be a salesperson. Like, I tried sales. I'm not good at it.
I'm a salesperson.
Yeah, well, I am like, I don't like talking to people. Do you want to buy this? Then fucking buy it. Like, I shouldn't have to convince you. If you want something, get it. Like, what the hell are we talking about here?
People like to be talked into stuff.
I couldn't take it.
You want to buy a dog?
Like, I'm not going to stand here and lick their ass for you to buy this. You want it or not? Get the hell out of here. I'm just saying. That's how I thought. I felt like you should. I was so frustrated with people. I was like, they'd be like, I'm waffling. Do you want it or not? I have things to do.
Now, there's salespeople in this world, and there's non-salespeople in this world. Brandy is the non-salesperson. I am the salesperson.
I just don't have it in me.
Do you want this or not? Get out of my store.
Yeah.
Well, you obviously couldn't be a con man either, because con people are salespeople.
I don't. Mm-mm.
Don't get me wrong. But, okay, so since he, at this battery company, he had clients for the Ministry of Defense, something in his head started twirling. I'm not sure what, but he decided to start a company called Red Defense International.
Red Defense International.
Yes. He did crisis prevention, like management and security. He was like, we could help with terrorism and blackmail internationally. You know, we could help you with piracy and kidnapping. He was just like, hey, if you have an issue that, like, needs to be taken care of, like, by...
Hit people?
Spies.
Okay.
I'm your man.
Spies.
Somehow, he started acting like a spy.
Oh, God.
So, I think he met these clients who were, like, high levels in this. There's a club. It's called London Special Forces Club.
And it sounds real shady, but okay.
Yeah, so... And so, like, he would just, like, talk and get all these stories... And he would take their stories and use them as his own stories.
Okay.
He would befriend people. He was always paying for stuff. He'd say, have a round on me. Like, you know, he would just surround himself with all these people because he's in the club. And to be in the club, you have to, like, really have done some shit or know some people. He knew some people.
Right.
And these people are befriending him and trusting him and taking his stories for...
truth.
Yes.
Okay, so he's basically a stolen valor asshole.
Yes, okay. That's exactly what he is. A stolen valor asshole. I like this. So he meets this guy by the name of Tim Craig Harvey. And he's a retired Army, retired like Queen's Army sergeant. It's London 2003. And he goes to work with Kevin at his Red Defense International company. Right? And he's like, this guy, like, you know, I would hear all these stories and he seems like, you know, he knows what he's talking about. And he's able to back it up. So I'm going to work with this guy. He had like this office like on like West End. And they're like, if you can have this office here, you must be getting contracts. You must be doing well for yourself. Mm. But he's like hanging out with these people and like, I could do this. Oh, I could do this. Talking himself up on like business. One of the tasks he had was to deliver some radios to the British Army, like the handsets to the British Army while they were in Iraq. Okay. So he was like, I've been to Iraq And, you know, I've seen this. And, like, when he was there, he was able to, like, carry weapons. And he got, like, pictures.
Of course.
And he got a DOD badge, like, from the United States. So he's like, I've been it. But he just delivered some fucking hand.
Yeah, off. he visited Iraq and was there. Technically. It was on the ground.
I was there.
His feet were on the dirt, mm-hmm. but he wasn't doing shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he wasn't serving his fucking country. Mm-mm.
He was not serving his country. I mean, he did drop off
handsets. No, that's not a combat veteran. That's not a person who was in fucking, in the military.
Okay. Well, they're getting these small deal contracts or whatever. And then all of a sudden, this company, Trafugura, they're a Norwegian company, Trafugura Beheer BV, but we're just going to call them Trafugura. And they're a Netherlands-based company, and they did commodities trading. This company is a $1 billion company, by the way. So they had this boat called the Provo Koala. It's an oil tanker. And they were looking for a place to dump their fucking waste. And
oil?
The thing is an oil tanker, but they had like environmental like waste to dump somewhere.
Okay.
And they tried to dump it in Amsterdam. They tried to dump it in Nigeria. And so they finally settled in the Ivory Coast in Africa.
Uh-huh. Not okay, but okay.
But I guess they were like, okay, sure, you can dump your waste here. They got approval. But they dumped the waste and it turned into an environmental catastrophe.
No fucking shit!
It like devastated shit.
Oh my God.
And it was offshore a company called Abidjan in the Ivory Coast, the Côte d'Ivoire. Mm-hmm. So they fucked some shit up. This company did. So they send their executives. They send like a CEO and somebody else to iron it out, to pay fines and to, you know, maybe apologize.
Figure out how to fucking make it good, at least.
Make it good. They were like, fuck you guys.
Wait.
You guys are going to jail.
Good. <time. laughs> Good.
They took them and they held them in prison. Y'all going to jail.
Oh my God.
So these executives are like, the fuck? Like, we're in a, like, an African prison in, like, Abidjan. They're like, it's a really bad prison. And so, like, the company's like, oh, my God, we got to get these guys out of jail. And so they're scrambling. And at that time this happened, this company had just made $44 billion. They're worth $44 billion at the time of their kidnapping.
So, wait. Okay.
Okay, just keep this in mind.
They're like, you're going to, they were just like, you guys are from that company, you're going to jail. Like, they didn't care who it was.
You guys devastated our country. You guys knew this. And they probably like, well, how much do we owe you? I don't know if maybe they didn't even apologize. Maybe they came in all dicky and was like, well, what do we owe you? And they're like, you just can't pay your way out of this. I imagine this is what was going on in my head. They're probably like, fuck you guys. You did this shit on purpose. You did this because we're an African country?
Exactly. That's because when you said they tried Amsterdam and then they tried Nigeria, I was like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
But okay.
You can't fuck with us. Go to jail.
Yeah.
Sit your ass down and hit some rocks. Okay? Fuck you guys. So, the company is desperate to get their executives out.
Went to jail.
So, they're talking to all these contractors. People like Red Defense and like other like espionage people or whatever. And so somebody gets a meeting with Trafugura. And this somebody was like, hey, Kevin Halogen, could you come with me and just like kind of be there as support? Like, can you roll with me? And he's like, fuck yeah, sure will. No problem.
Uh-huh. I can get another story. Let me collect another freaking tale.
He gets in there and he hijacks the meeting. And he's like, my company can help you get these people out. We can manage your reputation. So we can work on your reputation to make it better. And then we can also negotiate getting your executives released from prison.
Mm-hmm.
This was like in September, early September of 2006. This happens.
Okay.
He hijacks the meeting and he gets a contract with them. They start paying Red Defense, Kevin Halogen, he's also the CEO of this company right now.
Mm-hmm.
They start paying them $875,000 a month.
Well, it's obviously a risky job.
$874,000 per month. And this is because he's like, okay, you know, we're going to do resources. I've got to hire these people. They set up an office in Trafugura so they can work on, like, They're supposed to talk to like legislators and politicians and work out treaties and blah, 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 blah. Kevin's not doing that. Kevin is flying to and from like DC. He's staying in the nicest hotels.
Of course.
He's booking the hotel. He's like, I'm not going to be there for a week, but I want it reserved for me. So I'm going to pay for the room. So it's always available for me. He's doing this in multiple places. He's eating the finest lunches. He's paying for everything. He's spending that dough.
Right.
And now his business, again, is infused with money. It helps him grow. So,
well, is he actually doing the business?
He has a network because he met these people at this club.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a network of people who he could potentially call on, and he's making friends and doing this and doing that.
Yeah, but is he actually working? Is he doing the business?
Is he actually doing the work? Maybe yes, maybe no. So, like I said,
networking is not, it's not doing working. What you're supposed
so
to
listen,
do.
So listen, he goes and he makes his way to DC and he meets this guy by the name of Noel Koch. K-O-C-H. It might be Koch.
It's both, actually. Some people pronounce it Koch, but the Koch brothers pronounce it Koch.
This isn't a Koch brother, but this guy was very, very, very DC. He was really connected. He'd been in, positions in the secretary when presidents were there and all this stuff. So he has subscribers, and he sells his subscribers security briefings. Like, people go and they, like, write him, pay for the subscription, and then he, like, you know, here are these security briefings, you know, blah, blah, blah. He sells them to people. And
what kind of people?
People like...
Black Ops people?
Yeah, like Kevin Richardson, this guy. Kevin Richard. And then he would go by Kevin, and he would go by Richard. He would go by different names.
Halogen.
Yeah. So, Kevin meets this guy and signs up for his service, and he overpays for the subscription. Like, he's like, he overpaid, and that's what he would do. He like overpay and like, hey, you owe me. He would buy lunches. He was like, me and this guy would like drink 3 martinis at lunch, and he was like, and this guy, he's kind of a small guy, he would just knock him back. He would just like to fucking party. He would get driven around, black car service, $6,000 a month for this. But I mean, him hanging out with this guy and buying him services, this looks like he is working on getting these people free. Give us free.
Does it?
Mm. Well,
it looks like he's just fucking spending money to me.
Yep. He's staying at the Willard Hotel, towns, cars, dinners, drinks, and travel. And he's very braggadocious. So when he goes out, he's like, oh, you know, I'm a little bit of a spook.
You know, people who are in,
like, I don't know
in
if
the espionage
that.
Game don't tell people that they're in the espionage game.
But he would do that. He would, like, say certain things or hint and give innuendos. Anytime he met anybody, everybody would always say that. They're like, I'm not really sure what he does, but he seems to be pretty connected. He would act like a British spy. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a spy.
Mm-hmm. I work for MI6.
Yeah, okay. MI5. MI5. The mm-hmm. CIA. He would say he worked for all this stuff. We're introduced to this guy by the name of Henry Exton. He's involved in intelligence work. He works for MI5. And like, I'm going to tell you where I got this stuff from too. I got it from, American Greed, of course, but there was somewhere else. But anyway, I'll tell you guys in a second. He says this guy just copies people. He was like, he would just tell people's stories over again. He was like, but he wouldn't tell me that shit because I could question it and, you know, and
who?
The guy, Henry Exton.
Okay.
And he was just like, he's just.
He's a liar.
He's a fucking liar. While he's in D.C., he meets this woman by the name of Maria Debchik, and he lies about how he met her. He was like, oh, we met in Bosnia, and, you know, she was doing this, and I was doing that, and then this guy was like, but I never heard he went to Bosnia. This is the first time I'm hearing of this.
Okay, when did this happen?
He makes shit up. He meets this bitch on a website, on usmilitarysingles.com.
Oh, my God! Okay.
So he starts dating this girl. And then it's going well. He was like, let's buy a house. Let's buy a house together.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
How long were they dating?
A couple months, because he proposes also. And he was like, but let's get a house. So he's like, but keep it under $2 million.
Oh, so he just like gave it to her. Hey, go buy a house. Go
find us
go
a house. Find us a house. Keep it under $2
million. Pick one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so pick a house, any house. While this is happening, these men are still in jail.
Right. That's what I'm like, is he even trying to get them out? What's going on?
They're still in jail, and this is about 3 months into the game. Like, he's got this contract, and they're still in jail. So...
is he even in contact with, like, the...
He says he knows all these politicians and senators and, you know, button pushers and movers and shakers.
Is he in contact with the company where these men work? Like, yeah. Is he still communicating with them?
Yes, he has an office set up in their office in London. Okay, like, he's there and he's got people working and maybe doing research and maybe making phone calls. Like, he's just the CEO. But I'm sure he has some people that he's paying for their services.
Okay.
He goes and... reaches out to Trafagura's lawyer. His lawyer, the lawyer's name is Mark Aspinall. He pitches this plan to get these guys released. He's like, it's going to call, he called something. It's like the American experience or something like that, or the something plan. It was something. He was like, it's going to cost $2.1 million to get these guys out. I need to talk to some legislators. We need to, like, this is the money that we need to make these moves happen so I can get these guys out of jail. I guarantee you it's going to happen. Mark is like, okay, sure. Like, I'll pitch it to the team. They sign off because they're desperate. They're like, we got to get these guys out of there. Like, you know, they're running the shit. Instead of wiring the money to Red Defense, the company that Oh Boy's the CEO of, they wire the money to a brand new bank account that Kevin had started in D.C. Send it here so I could, you know, have easier access to the money. His business partner, Tim Craig Harvey, he works with him at Red Star. I call it Red Star.
Red Defense.
Red Defense. And he tells him that he's having the money sent to a personal
Red
account.
Red Star? That's from Marvel.
No, it's not. It's from Charlie's Angels.
Okay.
That was the company name that, what's his name, Knox worked for.
Okay.
Anyway, he's like, I need to be put into a personal account so it's not coming from a business account. So because I need to bribe a politician or I need to donate to someone's fund to help get these guys out.
To his a campaign or something?
Yes. And it can't come from a business. Yeah. So the second the money gets put into this bank account, a day later, he pays for the house cash.
Oh!
$1.7 million.
Oh, my God.
A house in Virginia.
Houses in Virginia cost $1.7 million.
That was probably the most expensive house they could find because he was like $2 million. She was probably looking for a $2 million house. But Virginia, that's like kind of where Potomac is too. That's like that Potomac
area. The DMV.
Because that house, it did look like it was on The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Okay.
So they get the house. And then February 2007, 2 months after Christmas, Trafagura agrees to pay $198 million settlement for the damage that they did in the Ivory Coast and to release their executives. $200 million.
Wait. So they could have paid... Okay. Hold on.
They could have paid that country direct instead of fucking with this guy over here. But he probably negotiated it. He probably helped it happen.
My question is this. They went over there to try to figure out how they could basically do a make good. Mm-hmm. And they were like, nope, you're going to jail.
Yep.
But then they were like, okay, we'll take your money. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
They want to make them pay, I'm sure, make them sit there in jail and suffer for what they did. And then they're like, now we'll take your money. And now you can go. We're done with you.
Okay.
Thanks for crushing all those rocks for me.
How long were they in
September, October, November, December, January, February. 5 months.
Okay, so they weren't trying to hold them forever. Because they didn't even, like, give them a trial or anything. They just put them in jail?
Yep, they took them. They were like, jail time.
Snatched.
This is how we do in Ivory Coast, son.
Oh, God.
Come over here and ruin my fucking ecosystem. Fuck you.
Yeah. That's...
Lucky we didn't chop your head. I don't know if they do that over there, but, you know.
Listen, last king of Scotland, Idi Amin would just fucking put him to death
immediately. Oh, gosh. That's such a good movie. I feel like...
Genocide?
No. But it's messed up.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So they get out of jail. Now, April 2007 rolls around. Now it's time for them to get married. They have the house. They invite all these fucking people, all these people like in
the club.
In the club and like, you know,
wait,
like
okay. And security. You're getting married in the United States.
Yeah, in Virginia.
And he's British.
Yes.
But he doesn't live there anymore in England?
He's been going back and forth. Okay. He's been traveling back and forth.
Okay.
But yeah, they're getting married in Virginia because they have a fabulous house in Virginia. I think it was like 30 hours before the wedding, Kevin...
30 hours.
Kevin tells Maria that this can't be a real wedding because I'm in deep cover, deep cover. For fuck's sake. And, you know, my name can't be out there. My real name can't be shared. God, and, you know, I can't have images because, you know, my security will be compromised.
Wait, how long had they been planning this wedding? Because I'm sure she got fucking wedding photographers and all this other shit if they were planning a wedding. Uh-huh. Now suddenly you can't be photographed?
Yeah.
I'm going to kick your ass.
You're an asshole. Maria apparently goes along with it.
I paid $4,500 for this wedding photographer. What the fuck do you mean you can't be photographed?
It just can't be real. So then Maria hires an actor by the name of Harry Winter to officiate the wedding. So he's an actor pretending to be a wedding official.
Oh, God. What
the fuck? Let him in on the gag.
This sounds ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. But they just put on this grand event just for friends and family. But come to find out, Kevin's already married.
Of course he is.
His wife is in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he can't
get married.
I mean, he could and become a bigamist.
But it's another country, so technically if it counts.
That's what I was thinking. Anyway, this guy's a liar, and we're just getting started. He is seen as a success since the executives were released from the Ivory Coast. Like, you did your job, good job. Good for you.
Okay, so they credit him with releasing, getting them released.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because
I'm still confused about how they paid $180 million to get these men out.
That's what they had to pay over there, the settlement, 198, right, or 200 mil.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, why couldn't they have just done that in the first place? Like, you could have literally, as soon as I got off the plane, I was like, what do I need to do to make this right? And you could have said, pay us this. But instead, you put them in jail.
And maybe they didn't want to talk. They're probably pissed off. I would have been fucking pissed. I would have been hot. Well, excuse me?
Yeah.
You did what to my country? Oh, so the website that I got the rest of the information was called marketrealist.com. So he's doing so well, right? He decides to branch out and start another business in the United States. It's called Oakley International.
I'm going to start a spy business.
So this is Halogen's U.S.-based company. He asked the lawyer, Mark Aspinall. So he starts Oakley International in the U.S. So this is like his U.S. subdivision of Red Defense. I'm doing the same shit. He asks Mark Aspinall to invest in his business. Apparently, like, all summer, he was like, hey, man, you should invest in my business. You know, become an investor. I'll give you these shares. Mark is like, okay, like, you know, you did really good with this other deal that we got. So he invests $500,000 into this company. $500,000. And so May 2007, Madeline McCain, the little girl goes missing in Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
There's a manhunt. They're trying to find this baby. And so they are pulling out nonstop, you know, sources. A bunch of money comes in to help find this girl.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking Kevin shows up and it's like, I can help. You know, I can help. I have technology and resources where I could, you know, find records of all the phone calls and shit that was made that night. I can give you satellite imagery of people walking around, you know, that evening. I've got all these resources.
Okay.
And they're like, okay, we'll give you a year contract or something. They give them a contract worth $1 million.
That's it.
Worth $1 million to help find this girl.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Henry Exton comes in. This is the guy that used to be in MI5. So he's like, we need to find this kid. So he hires a team to make this shit happen. And he's like, all right, you know, we've got the team. We're doing our part. We need you to provide us the shit that you said you were going to give us.
Mm-hmm.
The phone records and the satellite imagery. While they're waiting for him to do this, this guy is drinking, eating, partying, doing all kinds of shit and fucking off. They're like, so could you send the stuff like 6-7 times they ask? And he never produces what he said he's going to produce. He printed off a picture of Google and sent it to them.
What the fuck?
A Google map picture, like a Google Earth picture. And they're like, here you go.
No.
They were like, thank you for fucking nothing.
Yeah. Like, you just got $1 million for literally nothing.
And he was spending that money very fast. And this was 2007, like I said. So Madeline McCain was a 3-year-old who disappeared from her bed in a Portuguese resort. one night. Mm-hmm. Henry Exton was the guy who was involved, and he was like, he would have been able to have the ability to identify who had used phones on that evening and get a satellite imagery of people walking around that night. And it was phenomenal stuff. It never showed up. They said that once they got that, the family fired him. They're like, get the fuck out of here. And he drained the bank account $500,000. And never produced anything. The company was on a 6-month contract and they couldn't find
him. He did nothing.
They get nothing.
That's why I'm like, is he actually doing what he said he's supposed to be Mm-mm. doing?
He's spending tens of thousands of dollars on hotel rooms, fine dining.
Like, what the fuck, dude?
Chauffeur, all this stuff. And apparently there's a documentary called The McCanns and the Con Man. And this is about him.
Oh.
They said that they misappropriated the funds, or he misappropriated the funds, and he denies it. He's like, that's a lie. You know, the print media in particular took this line that I really had done nothing. I was living on the high life on the proceeds of the McCann case. He was like, trust me, I didn't so much as buy a new suit. The money, all of it is fully accountable. It's provable. And they're like, no, it's not. You're a fucking liar. And so Exton is calling him to get money because now all the debt collectors are coming in because he's not getting that money from the Trafigura account anymore because they came home. Right. So he's not getting that money. Mm-hmm. Now he started a new company and there's money going out and he's spending it on hotels and this and this right. and that.
He's spending it on looking like a fucking spy. Playboy.
Like a spy. And so everybody's coming to call. Exton's like, fool, you're bouncing checks. You owe my people money. The guy who we got that list from, apparently he had done some work for him and he was owed $25,000. There's people in lots of countries looking for him right now. Exton is pissed and he's like, this guy fucked off and he didn't do anything. So he's like, I'm going to call my friend in the FBI I know you're up to something no good.
Yeah.
So the guy from the FBI gets involved and he pulls all the records. He pulls bank records. He's looking at deposits and he's looking at all this stuff. And he was like, the only thing that he was able to prove was that when he got that $2.1 million money from Trafigura mm-hmm. that went straight to the house, mm-hmm. he didn't donate it to anybody to help getting these men released
right.
or anything like that. So he was able to prove that. Mm-hmm. At this time, before this is being proven, he decides to leave the country. And leaves the United States
okay.
and flees to Rome.
Oh, God.
Before he goes to Rome, he has to shake Maria Dubcek, his fake wife.
Right.
So she thinks he's deep cover, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, he sends these two Iranian chicks to the house to like start questioning her as to his whereabouts.
Well, okay, so he creates a fake.
He tries to scare her.
Oh, he tries to scare her. I thought he was like trying to create a fake story that they're looking for him mm-hmm. for whatever. Mm-hmm. But so he's trying to scare her.
Yes. So she calls him and she's like, oh my God, you're like, these are these people who are there looking for you. He's like, oh my God, they found me. Oh, you know, I've got to run. Go to your home. Don't come back. Run.
Your home. Her old house.
Her old house. Go to your old house.
Go to the house that's not $2.1 million or whatever.
1.7.
Yeah. Okay.
Go to the other house. Leave.
Mm-hmm.
He then leaves the country, sells the house in Virginia.
Oh God.
Gets the proceeds from the house in Virginia, takes off to Rome, Italy with another chick.
Of course.
Another woman who he's like, we're going to get married. So he's just, why do you people even date these guys? Like, this guy's old too. Like, he looks like the, like someone's uncle, like some British guy's uncle.
He looks like some British guy's uncle.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just a creep. You'll see pictures of him. So he shakes her. He heads to Rome, and then he leaves Rome because he's spending cash now because he's, before he went to Rome, he was wiring money. He was taking money from bank accounts and wiring it to Rome
so he could have money to spend there.
Yeah, and right. in England, too, he was wiring it all over the place. So once they leave Rome, he goes back to England under an alias. He's still using Kevin, but, like, the name is something basic, like Smith or Brown or White. Something lame. Mm-hmm.
And something inconspicuous.
So he goes back to the UK under an alias and is spending cash.
Bob Jones.
Uh-huh. But the FBI is doing the work in the States. They find him with money laundering and something about a transfer, money laundering and wire transfer fraud or something. And so
wire fraud.
That's it. So then he gets an international warrant and someone spots him and they nab him. Right. And so he goes to jail in the UK and he's sitting in jail for 3 years in the UK trying to fight extradition to the United States.
Yeah, no. They're going to send your ass back.
So 3 years later, he gets sent back to the United States, mm-hmm. and he does trial. They hit him with 41 months, and he only pled guilty to one count of money laundering, I believe.
What about capitalizing on the freaking tragedy of a family?
Ugh, Brandy. Because the only thing they could prove was that. Uh-huh. So it was a plea agreement, and he had a count of money laundering charge. Oh, actually, the money laundering charge was dismissed. And
yeah, it's money laundering because he was literally taking money and then sending it to other places. And, this story is convoluted and weird.
Well, so he just got a defrauding. He got hit with defrauding $2.1 million from Trafalgura. That's what he got 41 months for in the United States. But the U.S. was like, we don't want you.
No.
You've already done your time over there. I guess you'll get time served. They send him back to the UK, and then he's free to run around and do whatever the fuck he wants to do.
He needs to be kept away from people.
It's like you shouldn't be able to talk or communicate. Like, just don't communicate with anybody else, because that's how you con people.
You've seen Black Mirror, right?
Yes.
You saw the episode with John Hamm where he helped these people, like, solve this crime, and so they basically deleted him. Like, he was a red dot. So, like, people could see each other, but when they saw him, he was just a red figure, and they would, like, move out of the way. It was season 4 of Black Mirror. And so, yeah, it was a story. Like, he had committed a crime. Mm-hmm. And so he was helping to... Basically, he was being, like, an informant, or not an informant, but, like, helping... Well, for him, he was just, like, a red... figure.
Nobody could talk to him or communicate with him. Yeah, they avoided him.
They couldn't see him. Oh. It was just like a red shadowy thing.
Oh, that's funny.
So he could see everybody and they would see this red form and be like,
ew.
And get away.
Nice.
And so, yeah, it was really weird. Like, basically, you can't communicate with the world, but you can see everybody and they can see you and they know you're a bad thing.
Oh.
It was really interesting. That's what they should do to him.
We can start red dotting motherfuckers.
That's what they need to do.
Well, on January 8th, 2018, they found Mr. Kevin Halligan dead.
Oh.
They said that his house was full of wine bottles, and he had a drinking problem.
He drank himself to death?
Yes. They said that there was blood around the house, probably caused by previous falls when he was either drunk or blacking out.
God.
They said his house was full of empty drinking bottles. A lot of people wish ill will on him, but his death is almost certainly related to alcoholism.
Dude.
The cause of death was later determined to be acute subdural hemorrhage.
So basically, he fell and cracked his head.
Probably hit his head, yep.
Oh, my God.
And that's what happens when you pretend to be a spy.
Well, we've done a couple of others that have pretended to be spies, and that's definitely, but, wow!
Oh, you want to see him?
That's crazy. It looks like Davy Jones. Like, yeah. Hang on, let me
see. Somebody's uncle, someone's British uncle.
Or Davy Jones' brother. Yeah, maybe he could be Davy Jones' uncle.
Well, he gone.
When Davy Jones was on the Monkees.
Yeah, hey, what a Monkees. That sucks. But he misappropriated lots of funds. He spent a lot of money. And they were like, there's a lot of money not accounted for.
I bet.
A lot of money not accounted for. It's ugh.
Yeah, damn.
Piece of work. Do you have a thumbs up for the week?
I started watching Dexter,
ooh.
New Blood last night.
Okay.
So there's two episodes, so I watched those. I am like, okay, so I feel like this season, I think this is going to be just a one-off season. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, it's really good. I started watching Yellow Jackets last night. I fell asleep on it on the first episode. But it's weird. Like, it's weird. It's a, you know, like, I guess the first episode is all backstory or something. I don't know. But
what's Yellow Jackets about?
It's about, okay, so Christina Ricci, Juliette Lewis, the chick, She played Rose on Two and a Half Men. Did you watch Two and a Half Men? Did you ever? Anyway, so they are all adults now, obviously, but they were soccer players in high school.
Okay.
And something happened. I guess they went on a trip. I don't know because I fell asleep, but I guess they went on a trip, on a soccer, you know, trip, mm-hmm. and they got stranded, I guess, and, like, a few of them died.
What?
Yeah, it's like, and they had trauma to, like, bonded. Do horrible things. I have to rewatch the, watch it, but, it's, I find it, you know, very interesting. Like, they're, you know, they're, as adults, people are still trying to revisit this story. Mm-hmm. And there's this journalist. There's this journalist who's trying to get the story from, I guess, one or all of them. But I was tired. So I was like trying to watch it, but, you know, how when you're watching something and you're like half asleep. Shit, not really catching it all. So I'm going to rewatch it.
Is it a series?
It's a series. It's on Showtime.
Oh, okay. I need to get Showtime so I can watch Dexter.
Yes.
Yes.
So I don't know. I guess my new shows are my thumbs up for this week. What's your thumbs up for the week?
I started watching that Paris Hilton,
documentary show.
Yeah. Paris Gets Married or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. Oh.
Did you watch her?
Hold up. No, I didn't. Let me just go ahead and just say this. Britney's free.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
Free Britney movement. Good job. She free.
Yeah.
Give us free. I did not watch her documentary about her being tortured and, you know, whatever at band camp or summer camp.
Bad kids fucking reform home place.
No, but she said she credited that to her relationship. She was like, I was finally able to like open up and realize why I was like, you know, not able to be with anybody. But she
was always like, from her, you know, the documentary, the YouTube documentary, she was like in bad relationships with bad dudes.
That's what she was saying. She was like, I was with douchebags.
Yeah.
This, that. So it was good to like learn that because I didn't watch any of those documentaries. But just to kind of see like where she is the person, and I hear her talking in her real voice sometimes.
Mm.
You know, not that this voice. Yeah. Mm. But this voice.
Yeah.
You know, and then like her sister Nikki was there. She was like, why are you so orange? She was like, she has too many yes people around. I'll tell her like it is. You don't need to be that orange. But I'm waiting for the second episode of that to watch. And then I also started watching fucking The Real Housewives vacation one where all the girls go on the vacay. It's on Peacock.
I didn't know about it until I heard on, it was on the news, I think, today, this morning, mm-hmm. that Ramona was fucking calling Kenya Portia.
Oh, yeah, she was. She was like, oh, I don't know. I like Portia. And she... I watched it.
I fucking can't stand Ramona.
But Ramona like,
needs to go.
Ramona's head is so big. She was like, my fans think I should have the best room. She's like, I'm the celebrity here. Like, I've been on the show the longest. I'm the OG. And you're like,
can't
Ramona,
stand her.
Sit down. And then like, she was.
Sit your 75-year-old ass down.
That's what I'm like. Isn't she like 65? They were like capping for her. But the funny thing was, it wasn't funny. I felt the same way. Ramona was telling a story about how she was like hooking up or tried to hook up with somebody while she was still married to her husband, but they were divorced. They were separating.
Mario.
They were separating. Mm-hmm. So Kenya's like, you hooked up with somebody while you were married? And she was like, no, I said I was getting a divorce. She was like, but you were still married. She was like, no, bitch. To Kenya.
Kenya don't like that. Kenya don't was like that.
You are almost brand new and you didn't call me a bitch. There was an altercation on the plane. Mm-hmm. I was like, you can't do that, honey. Mm-hmm. Ramona, I'm from New York. You know, I'm tough. And I had to do. But then she finally apologized because I was just like, Ramona, you're making me cringe. Like,
I've been cringing from Ramona since like season 5.
Yeah. Well,
when she said to Bethany, you don't have no one. Well, you have Jason, but you'll probably fuck that up too. Or she didn't say fuck. She said, you'll probably mess that up too. I was like, oh, I'm off Ramona. Like completely.
She's
I don't
too
like her.
Much. Well, there's 3 episodes available on Peacock.
Uh-huh.
I only watched the first one. And, you know, so the characters are, of course, Ramona and Luann from New York,
uh-huh.
Teresa and, Teresa and Melissa from New Jersey,
uh-huh.
Kenya and Cynthia from Atlanta, and then Kyle from Beverly Hills.
Kyle's the only one.
Yeah.
She's on her own.
Yeah. But, you know, some of them know each other. I mean, yeah. A lot of them know each other.
Yeah, because, again, from the old.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, it's interesting just to kind of watch. But I feel like it's around Kyle. It's all about, like, her. She's having an issue with her weight right now. Like, she's really into her eating disorder, I feel like. She has body dysmorphia. Like, she was 120 pounds or 125 pounds, and she was like, I'm heavy. I'm like, sit down, Kyle. Like, but I guess people have always picked on her about her weight, so she's always, like, thinking about it. She said when she was, like, on Little House on the Prairie or something, she went to school, and they were like, oh, we saw you on TV. You're fat. And she was like, I know.
What?
So she has a problem in her head.
I didn't know she had that, but okay. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not even part of her storyline on...
She doesn't talk about it a lot, but when Crystal talked about it, Kyle kind of talked about it a little bit. And then I've heard about it before. Like, she doesn't like it to be, like, all well-known, but she struggles with that. Mm. Wow. With the way she looks. Girl, love yourself. Your husband do. That's all that matter, boo-boo. That's all that matter. Well, I mean, you got to love yourself, too. But anyway, we'll stop talking now. Hey, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate you. And you can connect with us on social. If you aren't already, go ahead and subscribe. Come back. If you're enjoying what you're listening to, we would love that. You could join us on Patreon.
Did you say that was your thumbs up?
Yeah. Okay. That I liked the Paris Hilton thing. Okay. And then it rolled over into the Housewife stuff because they're both on Peacock.
Right. Okay.
But come on back, okay? Send us an email at bookoflifespodcast@gmail.com. And I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this was
Book of Lies.
The podcast.
It's Boat Bitches.